Of Luke tonight, we'll be in the book of Luke. Thank you, young people, and I appreciate them and their service for the Lord. Luke chapter number 10, if you want to find your way there, Luke 10. This morning I preached on the focus, having the right focus as a Christian, and I mentioned that tonight. My microphone broke. Okay, is that better? Tonight we're going to continue that theme of the one thing life. And I've got a message on that one thing life tonight, and then I've got two more prepared, and then possibly a fifth, and we'll see where at some point we'll break off for the new year. But I think it's helpful to us to look at this and look at it from a different perspective tonight. Luke chapter number 10, and this morning I had a lot to throw at you. I normally don't have a lot to throw at you. Usually just here's a few things and let's go home, but this morning had a lot to throw at you. And so usually the Lord speaks in 4 points, right? This morning he spoke in 6, and he's not speaking in 4 tonight either, just to let you know. Only 3. Only 3. So I took 12 and shoved them into 3, and so we'll see what the Lord does tonight. Luke chapter number 10, I don't know if anybody else's mind thinks this way, but when the Lord gives me something, I don't just want to take it on the surface. That stuff's good, but I want to just, where is he going to take us next? Where is he going to take us next? And one thing I've learned with Scripture, obviously we know the depth of the Word of God is beyond our depth. And how many times do we read something that we've read so many times, like, I never saw that before? Or you hear a message preached and it's like, I've read that and I've heard it, but I've never seen that before. Well, what I like to do is I like to try and look at passages of Scripture from different, if I can say, angles, different viewpoints or through different filters. You can read, for example, the book of Deuteronomy. It's the law of the law of the law. But if you remember several years ago, I taught us the book of Deuteronomy from possessing the land. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture with Mary and Martha and the Lord coming to visit them. And if you look at, you could read a few verses, but you can look at it from the Lord's view, from Mary's view, from Martha's view. Let's pull ourselves out of it and look down on that story. And so let's get in the habit of, yes, spending time reading the Bible, but really meditating and studying passages of Scripture. And so we'll look at it from a little bit different angle this evening. Luke chapter number 10, beginning with verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This morning we looked at and focused on that one thing. Paul said, I press for the mark. This one thing I do. And of course, if you weren't here, I would encourage you to listen to that message. But that one thing, and that focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have one thing and you have all the other things. And if Jesus isn't the one thing, then he's just one of the other things. And how he must be that focus. Now, I made a couple of statements this morning, and I'm not saying exactly how I said them this morning, but there will always, that one thing will always be competing with the other things. And in order for us to have the focus on one thing, all the other things have to be put in their place. Tonight, I want to look at this and preach on this subject, the war of the other things. The war of the other things. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we pray tonight for your leading. We pray for the Spirit to instruct us, to help us, to challenge us, convict us, encourage us. And Father, I pray that you'll help your church this evening, and we'll give you the honor for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every Christian, if I can say it like this, has two competing voices inside them. What are those two voices? We find them represented in our story tonight, one of Mary and one of Martha. There's the voice of Mary, the quiet, focused heart that wants to sit at Jesus' feet. Then there's the voice of Martha, or the spirit of Martha, if you will, the busy, hurried, distracted heart that wants to do everything except sit at Jesus' feet. And there's some things that we need to understand about Mary and Martha. Both Mary and Martha loved Jesus. I think we could agree with that. Both Mary and Martha wanted to please Jesus. I think we can agree with that. We have Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was serving all of those that were there with the Lord, and she even went to him and said, I'm busy serving you. Both of them wanted to please Jesus. Both cared that he was there, his presence was with them. They both loved him. They both wanted to please him. They both cared about his presence in their life and in their home. But we see a contrast here. We have one had the one thing and the other had the other things. Jesus makes it very clear in our text. Look at verse 42. But one thing is needful. Jesus, and I'm getting ahead of myself, is not condemning all the other things Martha was doing, but he said, if we're going to have this discussion, Martha, the one thing is needful. There's one thing you've got to have. He didn't say the many things, the urgent things, the impressive things. Martha certainly was doing some impressive things, not the expected things, not even the good things, but the one thing. In this passage, Jesus gives us one of the clearest pictures in all of Scripture of the battle I believe every believer faces. It's the war between the one thing and the other things. Let me just say, the other things are good. What Martha was doing, Martha was serving, and serving has to be done. What Martha was doing good things. Needful things. Martha had the attitude and the spirit is these people aren't going to feed themselves. They're not going to get rest themselves. Then somebody's got to host them. Jesus and those disciples were with them in the home. She was not doing evil things. She was doing good things. But what she failed to truly understand, or should I say it like this, take advantage of, was the one thing. And that was the fact that Jesus was sitting in her presence. I wonder, Christian, and this is a good message for us to do some searching in our own heart and our own life. Are we so caught up in the many things that we neglect the one thing that is the most important? Now, Christians, we should serve, and your pastor is going to emphasize you serving the Lord, but I'm afraid sometimes we get so busy doing the many things that we neglect the one thing that is the most important. There have been times I've advised Christians, say, nope, you need to step out of that ministry. You need to step. Why? Because you have so much time, you have so much energy, you have so much health, and if something has to be set on the shelf, it can't be the one thing. Martha could say, I was busy doing these things, but she failed to realize that Jesus was there in her presence. So let me give you the three things that I want to mention to you in the very lengthy conclusion tonight. Let me just mention number one, we must be aware of the pull of the many things. Notice verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Notice that word cumbered about. It means she's pulled in different directions. She's distracted. She's burdened. She's overloaded. Have you ever felt that way? In the midst of serving Jesus, have you ever been cumbered about? Feel like you're overloaded. You're distracted. I can't get everything done. I've got to keep all these things in their proper order. See, Martha loved Jesus. Martha was doing something for him. Martha was working, serving, preparing, organizing, hosting. Her problem was not that she didn't care. Her problem was that she cared about too many things. And as a child of God, as we serve Him in His church and all the opportunities that we have, we need to be very, very careful that we're not cumbered about with the work of the ministry, that we neglect who the ministry is all about. And we can't be so busy doing the work of God that we don't ever spend time at His feet. That we don't ever spend time just worshiping Him. So, well, I don't have time to pray. Then you're too busy. You're too busy. Well, Pastor, I'm doing all these different things. And well, first of all, we might can cut out some time that we're wasting. But if you're doing, quote unquote, too much for God, that you don't have time to spend with Him, then you're doing too much. But I think most of us, if we're honest, we just bypass Him to do His work. I wonder how many rushed out the door to get to their Sunday school class and they forgot to sit at Jesus' feet. I wonder who sang the choir special in their head this morning as they got ready to go sing in the choir, but they forgot to sit at Jesus' feet. I wonder who was busy about, and I'm not minimizing the work it takes, especially as if you're a single mom, but the work, well, in this case, every mom's a single mom when it comes to getting the kids ready. When you're getting the kids ready and getting them out the door, and we don't stop and take time to sit at Jesus' feet. She was cumbered about. See, she was working for Him. She cared about Him. I wonder if she was busy. I wonder if she elevated her voice a little bit just to so that Jesus would hear that she's working for Him. And I think sometimes we do that. It's, Lord, look at everything that I'm doing for You and look at the sacrifices I'm making. And I'm not saying this evening that we shouldn't work for Him. We shouldn't sacrifice for Him. If you think that, refer to the message this morning. What I'm saying is the Lord is more impressed if we take the time to sit at His feet and realize who He is and not just busy serving Him. See, I don't think Mary was lazy. I don't think Mary was neglectful of the ministry. I think Mary, when she got in the presence of the Lord, she said, you know, Peter and John and James, y'all are on your own. I'm going to wash the feet of the Son of God. She was cumbered. Let me just mention a couple of things with this pool of many things. Good things can become godless things when they replace the one thing. Let me say that again. Good things can become godless things when they replace the one thing. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't care what it is that distracts you from worshiping Jesus, from serving Him, from sitting at His feet, from spending time with Him. He doesn't care at all. See, serving is good. Hosting is good. Working is good. But when good things replace the best thing, they become spiritually harmful. And the admonition tonight is the warring between, Pastor, there's so much to do for the Lord. Yes, there is, and we should be busy. We got to work, for the night is coming when no man can work. And that trumpet is going to sound, and we won't have any other opportunity to lay up treasures from Him. But in the midst of being busy, let's not let the service keep us from ever sitting at His feet and forgetting why we're doing what we're doing. Because if you're just cumbered about, you can get tired and forget. Why am I even doing this? I'm just wore out. Well, why are you doing it? See, activity is not spirituality. I would say that there's Christians that are more active but less spiritual than other Christians. Serving God is not exactly the same as sitting with God. I think you should serve God, but I think you got to sit with Him every once in a while too. See, many Christians are doing the work of the Lord, and yet they are spiritually empty. because they're not taking the time to sit at his feet. And let's just be honest, and I can certainly speak to this, because the work of a pastor is never finished. But as a pastor, you can become so busy with the work that you forget to spend time. And quite frankly, let me just insert this here. That's why God instituted the office of the deacon and those to help with those things, because the pastor needs the time. There's a danger of doing for Jesus instead of being with Jesus. I don't want to spend my life just having done some things for Jesus without ever taking the time to spend some time with Jesus. And can I just help some of you whose health isn't what it used to be, your schedule's not what it used to be, and you can't be as busy and active? It's okay if you just spend time with Jesus. It's okay for you just to sit at his feet. Maybe you can't do what others can do. And if I'm doing what God would have me to do, and I'm preaching, and I'm putting just the right amount of pressure on, we got to do more for God, and there ought to be something inside of us that says, I want to do more for him, and we all ought to do more for him, but not at the expense of never being with him. See, there's that danger of doing for him without being with him. See, productivity does not equal spirituality. Busyness doesn't equal holiness. I think we have a lot of Christians that are running around, but we're never spending time with him. Can I say, a busy church is not always a spiritual church? There's a lot of busy churches out there, and we're doing this in the community, we're doing this and this and this, but if it's never a stop and say, can we just say how great thou art? Can we just take some time to realize who we're serving? And it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in the midst of trying to reach the world for Christ, we forget that we have Christ, that we get to read the Word, and we get to see Christ in his Word. We get to spend time with God. The Spirit of God can nourish us and help us. But every once in a while, and even on a daily basis, we got to stop and say, let me just sit at Jesus' feet before I get busy doing the work. I said, number one, there's that pull of the many things. By the way, these aren't bad things. These are things that had to be done. But you can tell Martha's whole focus was on the other things and not on Jesus. She loved the Lord. She was doing them for the Lord. But she allowed those other things to take priority over the Lord. I don't think she's the last follower of Christ that's done that. We're all prone to do that. Let me say, number two, there's the priority of the one thing. I remind us again what I've already said. Jesus didn't condemn the other things. Jesus did not rebuke Martha and say, why are you out there serving? Why are you out there hosting? Why are you out there working? He did not say that at all. He didn't condemn those things. Those are things that needed to be done. But when it came down to it, what did he say in verse 42? But one thing is needful. No, Martha, I'm not going to rebuke Mary. Maybe Mary didn't have the ability. Now, some people, it is in their blood to host people. That's some of you. You're there's something's coming up. I get to host somebody. This is going to be fun and exciting. Others of you are the opposite. You don't even want to talk to the people in your house. It's just not you. Oh, you got people coming over, unfortunately. You got family coming, unfortunately. It's just, we're made different. We're made different. It's like my idea of a vacation is not seeing anybody. You know why? Because I'm always seeing everybody. So Mary and Martha, no doubt, were different. The Lord is not condemning the busy things. He was just saying, one thing is needful. I can't rebuke her to get up and help you, because that's what he said. Lord, she's left me to do all the work. Here I am, running around like a chicken with my head cut off. That's in the Greek there. Here I am running around out there. And I can't get everything done. And she's just sitting in there at your feet. It wasn't about not serving. It was about Martha saying, my busyness should come before Mary sitting at your feet. And the Lord is saying, no, it's the reverse of that. If you can only do one thing, you ought to be sitting at my feet, hearing my word. Let them fend for themselves. You ought to be at my feet. Now, he's not saying don't do those things, but he's saying I'm not going to tell Mary to get up because she's doing the one thing that is needful. Let me help us. You as a child of God, you ought to be doing everything you can for Christ. If you're young and you got health and you got energy, you should carry the weight of the service in this church. You should carry the weight. If they're young men, if there's a work day, it shouldn't be the old guys carrying the weight. It ought to be the young guys. Now, there's a lot of older men who are ushers, and praise God for them. But it's not an age thing. Well, I can't do anything else. Some of you ought to sign up to do that. If you've got the strength and health, you ought to be busy. But if we have to pick one thing, let's pick the most needful thing. See, Jesus doesn't even rebuke Martha. He gently corrects her. Look at verse 41. After, in verse 40, she was cumbered about much serving, doing good, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Look at her. And you don't even care that she's not as busy as I am. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Because Martha saw it as, I'm doing well. I'm serving you. She should be serving you as well like I am. But Jesus gently corrects her and says to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He didn't say the things were bad. He was actually acknowledging how diligent she was. But one thing is needful. Only one thing is above other things. She was troubled because she was divided. You know what, and I'm certainly reading into this, but having understand of people, I think there was a part of Martha that was saying, must be nice just to sit at Jesus' feet. But somebody's got to get all this done. And the Lord was not telling her to stop serving. He was saying, somebody has to wash my feet. Somebody has to sit here. So don't correct her because she's not as busy as you are. Because the one thing is needful. There's the priority of the one thing. What is he doing? See, she was anxious because she was unfocused. Jesus does not rebuke her work there. He rebukes her priorities and order. I would submit to you that the work she was doing would have waited long enough for her to spend some time with Jesus and then go do the work. He wasn't saying let the work go undone, but he was acknowledging and correcting her and saying, maybe you should have stopped and spent some time with me before you went to do the work. And there's a lot of Christians, I think sometimes we need to be corrected as well. It's not that the work doesn't need to be done, but we got to stop and acknowledge the Lord first and make sure we're spending the proper time with Him. He rebukes her priorities. See, the one thing above all things, what is the one thing? It's sitting at Jesus' feet. There's so many little things in here, if we're not careful, we'll miss. Look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. It's important to make sure we have the one thing where we sit at His feet and we hear His word. Spending time with Him, being near Him, being filled with His Spirit. drawing strength from him. Mary is, by pouring out her love and sitting at her, can you imagine being able to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him talk? Just hearing his voice and what does he have to say, and wonder what that would do for her spirit. I wonder the strength that she gained from that. I wonder the spiritual insight. I would dare say that after sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word, she felt closer to him. She felt like she knew him better, felt like he knew her, and she just got to glean from him. Likewise, child of God, when we sit at the feet of Jesus and we hear his word, we feel closer to him, we feel stronger, our soul is encouraged by spending that time with him, and truth of the matter is, we have more strength to do the many things when we do the one thing. See, that one thing is intimacy with Christ. See, many Christians lose the one thing while doing many things. I am going to preach to us and challenge us to do more for Christ. But when I say that, may our minds go back to this story, to this message, not at the expense of not spending time with him, hearing his word. Jesus said, thou art troubled about many things. And truthfully, that's a lot of Christians. We have so many distractions, so many expectations, so many responsibilities. And quite frankly, many of those expectations we put on ourselves. And the one thing slowly gets buried under the many things. Martha could have sat at Jesus' feet as well. She was distracted by good things. And by the way, let me just say, if you serve in this church, don't get distracted by your service that you don't hear the message that God has prepared for you. That's why it is good for me to remind, I mean, we have a policy that if you're serving in other services, there's ladies in the nurseries tonight, those kids can't watch themselves. In fact, they're watching the ladies over there. But we need to make sure that we're not so busy that we don't get our souls fed. That we don't get encouraged, that we don't get challenged, that we don't grow. See, the one thing simplifies life. When Christ becomes the one thing, priorities get clearer. The schedules get, can I say it like this, healthier. Because he is the one thing. Let me give you number three. There's the preservation of the one thing. See, this devotion, if I can use that word, didn't just happen. Mary and Martha, as sisters, they had the same responsibilities. Mary was the host just as much as Martha was the host. And this is why Martha had issue with Mary. As my sister, she knows better. We were reared better than this. We both have equal responsibility. But Mary wasn't just wired different, and Martha wasn't. In order for Mary to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, she had to choose that I'm going to sit at his feet instead of doing the work. She chose the good part. May we, as God's people, may we choose Christ of the work above the work of Christ. It was a choice. See, Mary fought to hold on to the one thing. And you can just assume, I mean, I've had brothers, I've never had sisters, thankfully. Some of you would say amen to that. But I imagine sisters, they probably had I've watched sisters grow up in my home. And they have looks that they give. Why aren't you helping? They don't have to say it. It's just catching the eye. you know, why do I have this job? And it's like, I'm just like, I'm going to go sit in the backyard under a tree. I need some alone time. That's me getting away from this. Anyway, I'm just, y'all pray for me. I'm bringing that up just to say that I wonder how many times Martha caught Mary's eye. Sure would be nice if I had some help. But see, she was made a person of devotion. No, she chose the one thing. Even Jesus said that. But one thing is needful, and the Lord knew her heart. The Lord knew her mind, which I could interpret that scripture in context to say Mary had a conscious decision. She was pulled. Do I go do my duties as this host, as custom would demand, as the business? I know, what do I do? I'm choosing. It's not every day my guest is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not every day the Son of God is under my roof. It's not every day the Messiah that had been prophesied for hundreds of years. It's not every day that God in the flesh is in my presence. The busyness can wait. He said this, she hath chosen that good part. She was torn between, but if I can only do one, this is the one I'm going to do. Christ did not say Mary found it. He said Mary chose it. Might I challenge us as a busy church, the one thing must be protected. Our relationship with Him must be protected. Our personal time with Him must be protected. Hey, there's work for God that has to be done. A church this size, the ministries that we have, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just take place. There's work that constantly has to be done, things that have to be tended to, but we have to make sure that we protect that one thing, that time with our Lord, that time in our Bible, that time in prayer, that time in communion with Him. If you got to turn the phone off, turn the phone off. If you got to get up earlier, get up earlier. If you got to cut out a hobby, cut out a hobby, but you must protect that time with Him. That focus must be fought for. See, the one thing must be prioritized. See, Mary sat intentionally. What was she saying? Jesus first, the work later. Oh, He's saying something? I want to hear this. His word first. Easy applications tonight. Well, He's here under our roof. I want to spend time in His presence first. The context of this was not Mary saying, I'm not going to do any of that. She's just saying, let me tend to Christ first. Let me sit at His feet first. Let me hear what He has to say first. See, the one thing, friend, must be protected from the good things. See, it wasn't sin that threatened Mary's focus. It was service. This sounds contradictory to what God commands us to do, and that's serve Him. Let's be honest tonight. You know if you're serving Him the way you should serve Him. But you also know if your service to Him has caused you to neglect your time with Him. See, we must be willing to be honest with ourselves. Am I serving Him as I should? And then those that are busy serving for Him, have I put that the greater priority than actually spending time with Him? We must protect that. It wasn't sin that threatened her focus, it was service. See, sometimes we have to choose between that which is good and that which is best. What is urgent and what is eternal? You know, and this could be applied to the things, well, how do I prioritize? You might have to cut some things out of your life that aren't bad things. But when we prioritize them compared to the one thing, then I have to change my schedule. I have to do things differently. You have to guard that. See, there's a reward of the one thing. Notice verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen a good part, which shall not be taken away from her. often, and I wonder how many times we've read this story and we've missed that last phrase. Which shall not be taken away from her. What does that mean? And by the way, everything we do for Christ, if we do it for Him, there's an acknowledgement for that. There's a reward for that. But Jesus makes the point, because when we think about it, what tangible thing is she doing? Who got served? What work got done? All she's doing is sitting at Jesus' feet, and that doesn't take any effort. That doesn't take any energy. But Jesus pointed out to Martha, Martha, I'm not going to rebuke her. You're too cumbered with all those other things. She had the same choices. She's got the same responsibilities, but she's chosen the good part. To sit at my feet, which shall not be taken away from her. See, that time you spent with the Lord, that's eternal. That's everlasting. See, everything else can lose some value, but that time with the Lord, it lasts and it lasts and it lasts. Those truths last. What He does in your heart and your life lasts. The time, when it's all said and done, friend, we're just going to be spending time with Him. He's saying, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's not make this mistake. Sometimes it's like, well, all, and I say this to you, if you can't do what other people can do, pray. And I've had people say this to me. I believe from a good heart, a good place, but it's not the right thinking. Well, I wish I could do something besides pray. I get that. I understand that. But let's not minimize spending time with the Lord. I know we want to be able to see something tangible now. We want to be able to say, hey, I moved this from here to here, and I opened the door for people, and I drove a bus, and I stood in front of a class. But understand something, sitting at the feet of Jesus, talking to Him and having Him talk to you, let's not minimize that. That is serving Him. That is praising Him. That is worshiping Him. That is doing for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords just by spending time with Him. Let me make quick application tonight. Let me ask the question, what is pulling you from the one thing? Now, another message for another time, but I'll mention it. Some of you, some of us, it's easy for us to let sin pull us from the one thing. Relationships, habits. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about good things. What is pulling you from the one thing? You know, your schedule will fight the one thing. You must make time with God non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. And every Christian ought to have some non-negotiables in their life. My time with Him is non-negotiable. Martha, I'll get to you in a minute. I'll get to that work in a minute. This is my time with Jesus. Make it non-negotiable. Your work will fight the one thing. Don't sacrifice your growth and relationship on the altar of your career. Your phone will fight the one thing. Some Christians spend more time scrolling than actually sitting at the feet of Jesus. Your family demands will fight the one thing. Pastor, I'm supposed to spend time with my family. Yeah, you are. So you may have to cut something else out because we said, number one, your time with Jesus is non-negotiable. And you ought to love your family and you shouldn't neglect your family. But let's start with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because let's just be honest, we're not going to be what we should be for our family if we're not spending time with Him. Your ministry will fight the one thing. You can serve in church and lose your walk with God. Okay, let me help some of you, because some of you are going to be like, why did Pastor pass me over for this and this and this and this? One, Pastor prays about it. But there's some, you get too much responsibility, you won't spend time with Jesus like you need to spend time with Him. And your pastor is more concerned with you sitting at the feet of Jesus than giving you a task to do. That went about like I thought it was going to go. Because the main thing is the main thing. If you can just do one thing, sit at Jesus' feet. If you can just do one thing, spend time with Him. If you can just do one thing, listen to His Word. Your ministry will fight the one thing. Your emotions will fight the one thing. You know how you felt when I just said that? Your emotions will fight the one thing. Well, I'm stressed. Why are you too stressed to sit at Jesus' feet? I'm tired. Well, the best place to sit when you're tired is at the feet of Jesus. I'm just angry. I'm just upset. Sit at the feet of Jesus and see if that helps you. Well, I've been disappointed. Well, welcome to the human race. Why don't you sit at the feet of Jesus for a little while and see if that distracts you from your disappointment? Your ambitions will fight the one thing. You know, you can't pursue everything and pursue Jesus at the same time. It's like what I preached this morning. I'm not against you trying to do as best as you can in the career God has you. I'm not against you trying to build a way of life. I'm not against that at all. I'm for it. But there's going to come a point where what can I add and still keep Jesus the main thing? Your ambitions will fight it. Let me conclude the message tonight. Please don't miss this. Jesus did not tell Martha she made a bad choice. He told her she made many choices, and none of them were the one choice that she needed. See, Mary made the one choice. Mary chose the one thing. Mary focused on the one person. And Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part. Can I remind us where I started tonight? Every one of us has a Martha inside us. We're busy. We're worried. Is it all going to get done? We're scattered. We're pulled in every direction. And every one of us has a Mary inside of us. I just want to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him. See, the battle is real. The war is daily. And there's probably some sitting in here tonight are listening to the sound of my voice by some other means, and you need to serve more. You need to get busy for God. You've got the time, you've got the energy, God has impressed upon you how to do it. You ought to be busy for Him. But on the flip side of that, there's a warning and a caution to us that if we've just got to choose one thing, let's choose Him as that one thing, and let's sit at His feet and spend time with Him and say, well, I don't have time. If I do that, Pastor, I won't have time to do everything else. It's better for you to let something go undone. And this will give some of you insight to your pastor, even with the staff men and the staff and some people. Pastor, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. And it's like, well, I don't think Pastor cares. Pastor has to guard his mind. Pastor has to guard his time with God. Because believe it or not, when you stand up here, it is exhausting. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But I have to guard my. And so if there's something, well, I emailed him that, and he's like, well, if you email me, good luck with that. Because it comes down to, yes, we got to get as much done as we can. But if I can only do one thing, I've got to do the main thing. And let me just say, that's why, and I'm pleased with how people are stepping up and doing more and more and more And a new generation is taking upon some responsibility. But this is why some of these little things that need to be done, somebody ought to just do them instead of saying, well, let's dump that on the pastor. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there are times when I've got the message on my heart. I've got needs of the church that I've been praying for and things that are going on. And sometimes it's like, well, you know, the third shrub by the second entrance needs to be trimmed. I don't care. I don't care. Because it would have taken you just as much energy to trim it. Then come tell somebody to trim it. When I say I don't care, I do want the, you know what I mean, I want the facilities to look good. But if I've got to do one thing, I've got to keep the one thing the main thing. If that's true of me, it's true of you. If I'm honest, I've heard Jesus say, Greg, or for you, Pastor. As a reminder, don't get too busy that you forget to sit at my feet. And if he's called my name, I think it would be safe to assume that he's called your name from time to time. Yes, the Lord's Day, that Sunday, it's a busy day. Sunday school over here, and then you got to leave there, and you got to come over to church over here, and then you got to get home, and then you got to get ready to come back for this practice and this meeting and church all over again. And, well, it's exhausting at the end of the day. And by the way, it's a good tire, that tire, when you serve the Lord. But don't forget to sit at my feet. I like to think that when you come to church on Sunday, you get something from God. I like to think that the time prepared and the prayer that goes into it and the message that God prepares helps you. I'm glad two of you affirmed that in my mind. But even on Sunday, don't depend on your pastor. To be the only source of spiritual nourishment you get. There's no law that says you can't spend time with Jesus before you come to spend time with Jesus. And some of us would get more out of church if we actually spent time with the Lord to focus on Him before we got here. Because it would put us in the right frame of mind. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Hey, tonight, let's just be reminded. Let's not forget to sit at His feet. God's church is supposed to be a working church. It's supposed to be a busy church. But we must keep the one thing that is needful. If something comes into my life and turns my schedule upside down, everything else can wait. But I have to choose the one thing. The one thing. Well, I've got to get this done. Don't forget the one thing. There's always going to be a war with all of the other things that cumber us. But let's not forget to take the time to choose the one thing. We'll make God wait for that time of fellowship instead of making other people wait. Think about that. Jesus, I'll get to you when I get done with everybody else. If he's not the one thing, he's just one of the other things. In fact, I would just submit as we go to invitation tonight that Martha, as she served, she would have served a little bit better if she had spent time with Jesus first. She spent time with Him. See, how do you know that? There's just something about spending time with the Lord that gives you a little boost. It doesn't change the circumstances while you're with Him, but there's just something about, well, explain it. I can't explain it except He's God. And when you spend time with God, it helps you. It strengthens you. It eases your mind. It gives you that which you need. It gives you the strength that you need. And so, let me just help you tonight. Some of you don't need more rest. You need more time with God. Because it's your soul that needs to be nourished. It's your soul that needs to find rest. It's that spirit of yours that's weary and longing for that refreshing. And you can get all the rest. And I'm not against getting physical rest. You should get it. But what you're looking for is that time with Jesus at His feet. Where spending time with Him nourishes your soul and your spirit. It takes the worry away from you. It gives you the strength you need so that you can keep serving Him more. Father, help us as we consider the one thing